So in Shir number one, Rebbe began by pointing out that Rashi makes a diuk from the Gemara, which seems pretty ironclad. The Gemara in Chavavim and Aleph says that Shluchim Mitzvah are Pater even when they're camping. And that sounds like even when they aren't actually going to the Mitzvah. Overall, they're going to the Mitzvah, but at that moment, they're camped. They're not doing the Mitzvah. They're not Asuk. Nonetheless, they're Pater from the Mitzvah. Tosos, therefore, based off of that diuk, which seems pretty ironclad, as we said, raises a question. He says, how can it be that you're in the middle of doing a Mitzvah, that one's going to be Pater from doing all other Mitzvahs? You're wearing a talus, you're wearing tefillin, you're automatically punter from every other mitzvah? That seems ludicrous. And moreover, Tosos raises another point to back this same question. The Gemara in Nedarim, by Prutadur of Yosef, says that that exemption of when you're watching somebody else's Aveda, when you're taking care of it, is considered an uncommon exemption from having to give the money to tzedakah. But why is it uncommon? If it's really true that as long as you have an Aveda in your home, then you're punter from tzedakah, so why is it uncommon? Anytime anybody has an Aveda, you're a Pater from Tzedakah. Aniyim come to our houses all the time, Rabbi Benar said. So therefore, Tosos says that one is only Pater from the second mitzvah when by doing the second one, you'll lose out on the first one. We call it Eif Shirli Kaim Shneihem. Tosos, based off of these, say that only if you can't do both, but if both can be done, then of course, one must do so. So now, the stories on Chavavim and Aleph and on Yudam and Beis, Tosos is going to be forced to make an Ukimta and say that there was apparently no other way for them to fulfill the mitzvah without being mevatel the first mitzvah. For example, on Yoram HaBeis, that's pretty dochik in particular, right? They were sitting in a sukkah that wasn't kosher. They couldn't find any other kosher sukkah there. So it's a pretty dochik ukimta to say that there was no other way for them to fulfill it. But nonetheless, Tosos really believes in this point that only when you're not able to do both mitzvahs are you pater from the second mitzvah. But if you are able to do both, you must do both. So now, Rebbe noted, even though Tosos doesn't, Tosos could have brought proof from the Gemara in Chaf Hamud Beis. Why? The Gemara there implies that one is only pater from a mitzvah when it's impossible to accomplish doing both. Because it assumes by the chuppah, he should do the chuppah in the sukkah, and for separate reasons says it won't work out. But the Gemara is really assuming that if you're able to do both, you have to do both. And Rebbe thought that was a good raya for Tosos' shita. And in fact, the Ran, who argues on Tosos' shita, struggles with this at length. We'll talk about that more later on, but one could have defended this proof for Tosos and said, no, that Gemara is not talking about Osik B'mitzvah, but rather that Gemara, as the Balaam Or says, the Ravid say, is talking about the concept of Mitzdayer. We'll leave that all aside for now, but seemingly Tosos had a pretty good proof from the Gemara on Chaf Heyam and Beis for his Shita. To summarize again, in terms of the scope of Osik B'mitzvah, Patrimon Mitzvah, Tosvos, and we'll throw in the Meiri and the Ritva, all say that one is Pater only if it's impossible to do both of them. Okay, that's what Shita A is, the first Shita we'll call. Tosos, Miri, Ritva. Pater, only if impossible to do both. Okay, so now we have to clarify. What counts as losing out on that first mitzvah? What counts as it's impossible to do both? Let's say the first mitzvah is only going to be delayed. So this isn't so clear within Tosos himself. But the Miri and Ritva both make it clear that even if the second mitzvah would merely delay the first one, not that you'd lose out entirely on the first one, nonetheless, you're still pater since both can't be done simultaneously. What does Tosos hold? On the one hand, he uses the language of Mevatli, which sounds like only if you'll fully lose out on the mitzvah. However, on the other hand, in terms of the case of Pruta Drev Yosef, it's hard to see why you would fully lose out on doing the first mitzvah. By stopping to hand somebody some food, you know, the poor person some food, the eight animals are going to die because you stop feeding them this very second. So it really seems instead that, unless you want to make some sort of Dohi Ukimta, it would seem that you'd have to say that even if the first mitzvah is only going to be delayed, that already is considered not being able to fulfill both of them. When we say being able to fulfill both of them, it means simultaneously, actually. However, that being said, even though that's the Ritva and Meiri, and seemingly probably what Tosos would have meant, the Beis Yosef understood Tosos, this camp of Tosos, differently. Because the Beis Yosef implies that this Petor of Osik B'mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah, only exists when the first mitzvah will really be lost out entirely, not that it's only going to be delayed. And therefore, within the general camp of Tosos, this whole sheet to that it's only when it's impossible to fulfill both mitzvahs at the same time, we have two different perspectives. We have the Ritva, we'll call it, the Ritva and Meiri, who say that it's even if it will delay it, that's already considered impossible to do both. And we have the Beis Yosef understanding Tosos that it's only if you'll entirely lose out on that first mitzvah that we consider impossible to do both. So now, according to either of these approaches, you're going to have to make, as we alluded to before, different ukimtas, the Gemara Chavavim and Aleph when they're camping, on Yudam and Beis when they were sitting in a non-kosher sukkah, and also, in terms of the case of Prutadur of Yosef, we're going to have to explain different ukimtas as to how it would have affected, by doing the second mitzvah, the first mitzvah. according to the first understanding, the way of the Ritva and the Meiri, that it's even about a delay. So you'll just say on Chafav Amr Aleph and Yom Beis, and even by Pirutei Rabbi Yosef, that somehow by doing that second mitzvah, you'll delay doing the first one. That's a pretty easy ukimta to make. It's an ukimta, but it's easier to make. To the Beis Yosef side, if you understand that, no, it's really that you're going to lose out on the mitzvah, the ukimta gets a lot more difficult. For Chavav Amr Aleph and Yudim and Beis, you have to say that if they look for a sukkah, they would have missed out on the Reish Kalusa entirely. Not really clear how that would have been so, but you'd have to say that ukimta. As for Pirutei Rabbi Yosef, for the Beis Yosef side, you'd have to say that if you gave the tzedakah, then indeed, the Aveda might become damaged. The Aveda might become lost. Somehow you'd have to say that type of ukimta. Now, before we move on to the overall different perspective, that of the Ran and the Or Zeruah, let's just note that in the Shut Marach Or Zeruah, the questioner, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Eliyahu, one of the Rishonim, held that really a delay can create a patur. But the reason is because you might not get back to the first mitzvah. So he basically bridges the gap between the Beis Yosef and the Ritva sides within Tosos. How so? Because again, even though the real reason is because you might not get back to that first mitzvah, meaning like the Beis Yosef, we're afraid you might lose out on that first mitzvah entirely. He'll say that even if it will cause a delay, that's already enough to give you a patur, because we're afraid if once you get delayed, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, then, you know, it'll ask you for a cup of milk, you know, if things flow from one to the other one, you start delaying a little bit, you'll end up missing out entirely from the mitzvah. So he's really sort of bringing these two closer together, the Beis Yosef and the Ritva, different approaches within Tosfos' scheme of needing it to be impossible to do both, to have the patur. The overall different perspective, that of the Ran and the Or Zeruah, is that even if you are able to fulfill both mitzvahs simultaneously, without delay, let's say, even, like, you know, taking it as hard as you can, even without any delay to the first mitzvah, you're still patur. Okay? Now, as for fulfilling a mitzvah, meaning Tosfos' question, like right now, I'm wearing tefillin, shouldn't I be patur from all mitzvahs of the Torah? That sounds ludicrous. So to respond to Tosfos' question, they explain, no. There's a difference between being osik b'mitzvah, as the Gemara's language says, and being mekayim a mitzvah. Fulfilling a mitzvah doesn't give you a patur. Being involved in first fulfilling the mitzvah, right, trying to accomplish it right now, trying to put on the mitzvah, being involved in some fashion in the mitzvah, that's what makes you patur. And that resolves the talis and tefillin question, because you're not doing anything in specific when you are wearing a talis or tefillin. Okay, now, for this overall sheet, the Ran, the Or Zeruah, the Gemara in Chavav and Aleph, and the Gemara in Yudim and Beis, about them camping out and about them being in a sukkah, which is possible, that's really easy. Indeed, they could have found a sukkah. Those gemaras make a lot of sense. They could have found another sukkah. They just don't have to, because they're patur ben mitzvah, because they're osik ben mitzvah. As for Pirutei Rabbi Yosef, it also makes sense. Indeed, you could have given tzedakah while you were watching the Aveda. How hard is it? You know, you're feeding the chickens, and you hand the guy some coins, you hand him a piece of bread, and you can go back to feeding the chickens. You could have done both, but you don't have to. You're patur anyhow. Because the rule is osik ben mitzvah, patur ben mitzvah. As long as you're actually involved in a mitzvah, you are totally patur from the other one, even if you could do it. That's the shita of the Ran and the Or Zeruah. However, there seems to still be a distinction between the Ran and the Or Zeruah themselves. And that is, the Ran has a problem, as we alluded to before, with the Gemara and Chav Hayom Beis, which sounds like a chassan is only patur from a sukkah when he can't do both mitzvahs. Right? Because the Gemara works back and forth. Oh, well, so let him just do the chuppah in the sukkah. We're trying to make him do both. Why don't we just say, no, he's patur. Osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. Why don't we do that? So the Ran, therefore, says that if he can do both without any extra tircha at all, then he should do both. So now, parenthetically, does the Ran mean that he should do both, or that he must do both? Is the Ran saying that if you're able to do both mitzvot without any extra tircha, must you do both? Or just that, really, this is like, you know, Yari Shemayim will do this, but you don't have to. So the Bir Halacha actually leaves this in Tzarech Ian, which way the Ran meant. Maybe as a Chiyuv or a Chumrah. On one hand, he says, you're Yotze, and he implies it's just a good idea to do it from a quote from the Pasuk. But on the other hand, back and forth, the Gemara really doesn't sound like it's just a chumrah. It sounds like you really need to do it. So it isn't really clear, and as we said, the Bir Halacha leaves it in Tzarechi, and whether the Ramban meant you really have to do it when there's no extra tircha, and you can do it simultaneously, or is it just a chumrah that's the right thing to do? And Rav Asher Weiss and Milchas Asher tries to make it even like somewhere in between, but we'll leave that alone. Okay, so overall, the Ran says if you could do both, it doesn't matter, you're patur. Unless you can really do both simultaneously, and there's no extra tircha, then you're supposed to or you have to. The Or Zeruah never says that, though. The Or Zeruah never mentions anything about tircha or no tircha. And moreover, he even implies that if there's no tircha at all, for example, if you can just tell the poor person, you're in the middle feeding the chickens, whatever it is, and the poor person comes along asking for money, and you say, oh, I have a jar over there, just take the money, and you keep on going. You can't say that that's any tircha at all. And yet he says, even there, you still have the patur of osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. So it sounds like he disagrees with the Ran. He's more makel than the Ran. And he says that if you're osik b'mitzvah, you are utterly putter from another mitzvah, even if you could do it simultaneously, even if there's no tircha. So that's a distinction between the Ran and the Or Sarug. And now, as for Chaf Hamun Beis, meaning that Gemara which the Ran was struggling with, that the Gemara sounds like it really wants the Chasam to be in the Chuppah, and in the Sukkah, and the Chuppah, trying to work them both together. So we can just say that Gemara is not talking about Osik B'Mitzvah. As we said, the Baal Mor and the Raivan and others explain that Gemara is talking about Mitzdayer. It has nothing to do with Osik B'Mitzvah, Petra B'Mitzvah. We'll discuss that in Mir Tashem more when we get up there. But as of now, you can just say that Gemara has nothing to do with Osik B'Mitzvah. It's rather about a different Sukkah. So now, just if you ask, how do we paskin? We paskin like the Ran. Therefore, if it's a tircha, you're pater. If it's not a tircha, and you can do both simultaneously, you really should do both. And an example where that comes up is that if you're davening and an ani comes around, then it depends on your level of kavana, what part of davening you're up to. If it's really a tircha, your wallet, you know, in your knapsack, you'll have to take it out. So it depends all on a lot of scenarios, but halacha lemaisa, Rebbe said we paskin like the Ran. Okay, so now let's get to an important chakira. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody misses a tefillah because they were involved with the mace, then there's no need to do teshlamin, right? They were completely pater as an oni, totally pater. Now, the Jerisha says that likewise, if one's involved in Sarchei Tzibor, there's no need to make up the missed tefillah. Why? Because, after all, he's doing a mitzvah, and he's thus pater. Now, the Taz argues on that Jerisha. And he says that if you missed davening because you were osik b'mitzvah, then you must make it up. You were only pater from ones. So the Shach and the Kudas HaKasef and all the other Acharonim argue back and say that, no, what do you mean? Osik b'mitzvah has nothing to do with ones. Osik b'mitzvah makes you pater fundamentally. You're fully, fully pater. Nothing to do with ones. So what are they arguing about? What's the Taz and the Shach arguing about here? I'll call it those by those names, but really you could have called it by different Acharon. So what are they arguing over? So Rabban Arsh mentioned that one seemingly could have just said that the Taz doesn't think that Tzarchei Tzibor is considered a mitzvah. And you don't have to get into any of this lumbus. The Taz just doesn't think Tzarchei Tzibor is a mitzvah. But most Acharonim don't say that. And instead they say that it depends on a chakir about Osik B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah, which is a very important chakir. Is it that it's a fundamental patur that you're really, really patur? Or is it only a valid excuse? Like ones. Look, you can't do two things at once, so the Torah excused you. In other words, is it that the Torah wasn't machayev me in the second mitzvah, v'chlal, I'm totally not chayev? Or else is it that the Torah doesn't expect me to stop the first mitzvah, even though theoretically I'm chayev in the second mitzvah? So here are some potential nafkamina. Number one is what we just alluded to with tashlumin tefillah. Right? If it's a real Torah, then you should be putter in Tashlumin. If you were really, really putter, like the Shach and the Drisha, then there's no reason to make up Tashlumin. You are totally putter. You were never chayiv in the first place. But if it's just an onis like comparison, then really you're chayiv, as the Taz says. And in fact, the Taz even compares it to losing a lot of money, which is a legitimate excuse. We understand, you know, sometimes if you're going to lose a lot of money, you're allowed to miss the tefillah. But nonetheless, you're still called an onis, and you have a chayiv to do Tashlumin. So now a lot of Acharonim, for a second potential nafkamina, and one example of the Acharonim is the Kilas Yaakov. Assume another nafkamina of this, this different chakiras. Is it truly a fundamental p'tor, or is it just an onis-like p'tor? Is a way to be plugging into the machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran. Tosfos, who holds that only if it's simultaneously impossible, so he thinks it's stemming from idea of onis, since you can't do both, so you're p'tor. But the Ran thinks that no, even if you could do both, there's a fundamental p'tor that regardless, the Torah said you're not chayiv. And then these represent two very different philosophical understandings. To Tosfos, the principle is merely that you can't do two things at once. Nothing too deep about it. You can't do two things at once. And we'll even have to discuss what the Chiddush might have been. But to the Ran, the idea is much more fundamental and can perhaps be said in a number of different ways. For example, you could say that the Torah didn't bother you to do something else when you were already involved in Melachas Shemayim. That's the language of the Ran. You might mean that Hashem doesn't want us to do mitzvos for points, you know, just to get more mitzvos done. He wants us to do His will. And if you're doing His will, then there's nothing else in the world that has to be done. You're doing His will, so I should do something else which is also doing His will. Regardless, I'm doing His will, I'm doing His will. There's no difference between any types of doing His will. However, the problem with trying to plug in this hakira of is it a fundamental patur or is it an onis-like patur into the machlokas between the Ran and Tosfos, as many Acharonim do, Kilas Yaakov being one example, Rebbe pointed out, is that the Ritva holds like Tosfos. The Ritva holds like Tosfos in that only when you're not able to do both are you patur. Yet he clearly holds it's a fundamental patur, not just from ones, because he uses a very strong formulation. He says that the second mitzvah turns into a davar reshus, and it's no longer a mitzvah. That's a very strong formulation. Okay, so now just to summarize, the conceptual underpinnings behind the machlokas. According to the Kilas Yaakov, according to Tosfos, it's a patur of ones. According to the Ritva and Tosfos, is that you're not chayv in a mitzvah, which would stop you from a current mitzvah, and that's how it works. It's a fundamental patur, but just the Torah never was machai of you to do a second mitzvah, which would stop you in any way and delay you in the first mitzvah. According to the Or Zeruah and the Ran, if the Ran agreed to the Or Zeruah, that you actually have that you actually are totally putter from doing that second mitzvah, even if there were no tircha and it's just a chumrah. So then, if one is Obed Hashem, the philosophical understanding is simply that if you're Obed Hashem, that's your only tafkid, and you don't have to do anything else. But if you said that the Ran argues, and he says that really when there's a tircha in din, you have to, like in that side of the suffik and the bir halacha, that you really have to go ahead and do both, so then it's a little bit harder how to understand the Ran. And Rebbe suggested two different ways. Number one is that it won't be mevatel you from the mitzvah, but it will still distract you from the mitzvah. And the Torah doesn't want you to lessen your focus on any mitzvah that you're doing, right? We believe that it's important to have focus on what you're doing. Kavanos are important, and therefore we don't want you to lessen your focus. Or alternatively, you can explain it a little bit differently and say that if you can do two mitzvahs without extra tircha, and then you choose not to do it, that's not considered, oh, I was involved in my own avodas Hashem, and therefore I don't have to focus on another avodas Hashem. It's not like it's trying to do two avodas Hashem instead of one. But instead, the idea is, it's like those are both clearly your avodas Hashem. If you can do both simultaneously without any extra tircha, that is clearly your avodas Hashem. And therefore, if you say, I'm involved in avodas Hashem, not in the other half, that's not called one avodas Hashem. That's called doing half of an avodas Hashem. And really, you could have done both. And that was a second way Rebbe would try to explain the Ran, although it gets harder if you say the Ran really argues on the Or Zeruah in terms of din. Okay, so then more potential nafkamina that Rebbe threw out, although these were all somewhat flimsy, and that you could, and Rebbe said that himself, that really you can say it helps highlight maybe one side, but the other side doesn't necessarily agree. I'll throw them out there quickly, but then we'll move on to the next year. So if you fulfill the second mitzvah, where you yotze your obligation, meaning to say, if I was really fully putter when I was involved in that first mitzvah, and then I choose to do the second mitzvah, so did I fulfill my obligation? So if it's about onis, then of course, meaning I was being held back from doing that second mitzvah, and then I chose to fulfill it, so then I fulfilled the mitzvah. And the Ma'arach Or Zeruah says that, the Mishnah Berurah says that, the Prima Gadim says that. But if it's that you're fundamentally putter, then maybe I'm not able to fulfill that second mitzvah at this time. Just like a shota, for example, who eats matzah, and then becomes an unshota. He becomes back to being a normal person. So a shota who eats matzah doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. When he becomes an unshota, again, he's back to a normal person. So now he has to eat matzah again because a shota has totally no chiyuv whatsoever. So the Tzitz Eliezer, theoretically, at least wanted to entertain that. Okay, some other nafkamina Rebbe threw out, but again, these are all hard to say, is that if, can you say a bracha in vitzivanu, right? If it's onis, then maybe you could. But if it's fundamentally, then I'm not actually chayvin at the moment. Or maybe that doesn't really work out so well. Can he be motzi other people is another potential nafkamina, right? If it's onis, why wouldn't you be able to? But if you're fully putter, maybe you can't be yotzi other people, just as a woman, for example, can't. But again, that also gets tricky. Ma'arach Or Zeruah addresses it. Now, and also another point is maybe is it a mutter to do the second one? Am I allowed to choose to leave the first one, go to the second one? That also might not be a great machlok nafkamina though, because frankly, that could be about bizoy mitzvah. That could be about bizoy mitzvah. That regardless of whether or not like. It's a fundamental one or not. Regardless, I'm basically mocking that first mitzvah. Let's move on to shir number two. Okay? So now, Rebbe began. What's the chiddush of ho'osi mitzvah, patur min mitzvah? Right? What is the chiddush that the pasuk is teaching us? We learn it from a pasuk, after all. So the Or Zeruah says, quite simply, and now that we understand his shita, is that even if you're able to do both of them, you're patur. Even though you could do both, you're patur. That's a big chiddush. So that's one option. Now, the Ritva, in one suggestion, says that it's usher to stop doing the first mitzvah and to do the second one. And that would be what the Chiddush of the Torah is teaching us, that it's usher to leave the first one and to turn to the second one. Or, another possibility, the Ritva says that even if the second mitzvah is a mitzvah overis, the Chiddush is that even though this one's time will pass, you're still putter from doing that second one, even though you could have done the second one and then returned to the first one after that delay. And now, a fourth possibility is a rejected Havamin the Or Zeruah, and it's built in within the Ritva's words, but that maybe you could say the chiddush of the Pasuk teaching us, Osi B'mitzvah, Patur Min Mitzvah, is that even if the second mitzvah is bigger than the first mitzvah, nonetheless, you still are allowed to stay involved with the first one and not the second one. So now the Or Zeruah rejected this on the basis of the idea of the Mishnah and Avos, which says that Iyata Yodea Schar and Shal Mitzvos. We don't know the Schar Mitzvos. And even when the Gemara says Mitzvah Kala or uses terminology like that, it only means in the eyes of people. It's like easy to do or something. But frankly, there's no distinction between Mitzvos, and therefore that can't be what the Torah was teaching us. But nonetheless, it was at least built into the Ritva's words, and it was an entertained Havamina by the Or Zeruah, that the Chiddush of the Pasuk is that even if the second Mitzvah is greater, you're still Potter from it. And now Rebbe suggested a fifth option. And it could be that the chiddush was that even if you're only involved in going to do the mitzvah, but not mamish involved in the mitzvah right now, it's not like, you know, you're shaking your lulav, you're going to go and pick up your lulav, let's say. So then you're not actually doing the mitzvah. So that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Meaning I would have only known before the pasuk that if I'm involved in the mitzvah mamish, that I'm patur from the second mitzvah. But the pasuk teaches me, even if I'm not actually literally doing a mitzvah, I'm just on my way to go and do a mitzvah, that already is enough to make me patur. So now let's try to rephrase a certain question and incorporate what we just said. So now, how do we know that even just going to do a mitzvah is patur from another mitzvah? Right? I understand if it's impossible. Right now I'm shaking my lulav, so I don't have to do something else. But how do I know that even walking to go somewhere to do another mitzvah, I'm osik, but I'm not actually osik in the mitzvah mamish, so how do I know that that's patur? So Rabbi suggested four options. So number one, that would be what we learned from the pasuk. Meaning before the pasuk, I wouldn't have known. And now the pasuk teaches me that even if I'm just osik b'mitzvah and not actually literally doing the mitzvah itself, but I'm just on my way there to do it. So that means I'm patur. So that would be a chiddush from the first part of the pasuk. The second option would be the opinion of the Ra. No, that's obvious. That too is obvious. We know you're patur. Even osik b'mitzvah, going to the mitzvah, is going to be patur because that is the beginning of the mitzvah. I need to do it in order to do the mitzvah. It's the beginning of the mitzvah. He uses a strong formulation. A third option is that of the Ritva. The Ritva says that it's learned from the second part of the pasuk, meaning the first part of the pasuk taught us the entire idea of osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah, and the second part of the pasuk came to teach us that even if you're just osik b'mitzvah, even if you're not actually doing the mitzvah mamish, so then it's there to say that I'm patur in that case as well. From the same pasuk of v'lech techa v'derech. From b'shiv techa v'isecha v'lech techa v'derech. So from the second part of v'lech techa v'derech. And now Rav Soloveitchik has a fourth possibility, had a strange, difficult to understand option, that really you are in patur when you're just osik b'mitzvah, not doing the mitzvah mamish, but you're like on your way to do the mitzvah, you're really not patur. As for our Mishnah then, which basically says you're patur when you're osik b'mitzvah, so that's uniquely by mitzvos where the walking itself is a mitzvah. That it's already part of the mitzvah, as opposed to your average mitzvah, let's say lulav, right? I'm going to go get my lulav. That's not walking to get my lulav. It's not a mitzvah. These ones, for example, that's why he notes Rashi's three examples of going to the Yarchi Kala to be Machbo Pei Rabo and Pidyon Shvuyim. Each one of those he explains how like those are themselves, the walking is part of the mitzvah, and it's uniquely by those. And overall, that seems like a very big stretch. It's hard to understand how that's really true. Okay, so now to give a quick lineup of who fits into what side, the Tosfos side and the Or Zeruah / Ran side. So within the Tosfos side, of only if you're not able to do both, are you patur from the mitzvah? So that's Tosfos, Ritva, Rosh, Ra'ah, Rashba, and Brachos. And on the side of even if you are able to do both, so that's the Ran and Or Zeruah we mentioned, the Marach Or Zeruah, and the Rambam, according to how the Mishnah, the Magi Mishnah understands it. Because the Rambam doesn't really say much, but since he didn't say anything, he didn't speak out that it's only if I can't do both, which would have required a lot of ukimtas to make in some of the cases. So the Magen Mishnah assumes the Rambam, since he should have said something if he held like Tosfos, and he doesn't, he assumes that he's like the Ran. That even if you are able to do both, you're still going to be patur. Okay, so now, what if you aren't doing anything? Like you're wearing tefillin, or you have an aveda in your safe or something, right? So let's say you're not involved in anything. So within that Ran or Zeruah side, we're asking now, to rephrase, we're asking, if you're not actually doing anything, you just have tefillin or a talis, or you have an aveda in your safe, are you patur? So the Ran and the Or Zeruah both say you're not patur there, because that's not called osik, that's called being mekayim, right? You're not osik in a mitzvah when you have your tefillin on your head or you have an aveda in your safe. But the Marach Or Zeruah and the Ravid brought in the Shita Mekubetzes above a Metziah, and as understood by the Rashba and Bava Kama, says that you're patur even here. So now how could that be? How could it be? This is what Tosfos thought was ludicrous. How could it be that you have an aveda in your safe and you're patur? So apparently, you're only called osik when you first are being mekayim the mitzvah. Once you did the mitzvah and are just continuing to be mekayim the mitzvah, that's not called osik the mitzvah any longer. Okay? But the major idea is that as long as you're still first being mekayim the mitzvah, that will make you patur. So putting on your tefillin that first time is what we're talking about. Afterwards, wearing the tefillin is not going to make you patur. But having an aveda in your safe while you're upkeeping it on some level and you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah by returning it, you truly are patur. A chiddush. Even if you just have it in your safe, you're patur from ever having to give it. So now we have to deal with the Gemara and Nedarim, according to the Marach or Zeruah, and maybe this Ravid. So according to this, the Gemara and Nedarim says that it's uncommon to have the Ptura approved to Rav Yosef, that you don't have to give the money to the tzedakah. Why is it uncommon? If you ever have an aveda in your safe, you're patur, and any time an oni comes by, you're going to be patur. So he explains, no, read the Gemara carefully. It's a nice diuk. He says, in the case of the Gemara is where you know whose Aveda it was. Why? Because we're talking about where, oh, are you able to return it to him or not? Or is that a problem because you are usher to get hana from him and you're holding on to his item? That means you know that you're usher to him, which means you know whose Aveda this is. I know it's Bob's over here. I know it is, and I'm usher to get hana from Bob. So am I allowed to hold on to his Aveda and return it to him because I'm going to get the schar of Prutz of Dor Yosef? But that means I know whose Aveda this is. How long do you hold on to an Aveda that you know who somebody is? I'll tell you a quick story. It happened to me this morning. I found somebody's ID card on the floor. It says his name. I know which kid he is in Shrag. I picked it up, and I returned it to him. It took me 10 seconds, right? Not the type of Aveda you hold on to for long. And therefore, why is it uncommon to have the Torah of Prutz of Dor Yosef? Because what are the chances that when you find an Aveda where you know whose it is, an Ani will come along and ask you for tzedakah at that moment? Not very common. And that's how the Ma'arach or Zeruah protects himself by saying, as long as you have an Aveda and you're safe, you're putter. But isn't it uncommon, the Gemara tells us? No. The reason why it was uncommon in the Gemara's case is because how often do you know whose Aveda it is? That's not common. Okay, so now, aside from these overall perspectives, we also mentioned there's Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Eliyahu, who's sort of a compromise, that really it's only if you can't do both that you'd be putter. But practically, even if you are able to do both, we're worried that you might come to not complete the first one. So therefore, even if you could do both, we don't say that you have to do it. Okay, so now, let's dwell on the Me'iri for a little bit. The Me'iri is pretty troubling. He uses the language of Tosfos and the Ritva, right? Meaning bringing the same points from Tefillin and Sittes that you can't. It's ludicrous to think that you'd be putter. Yet, on Yudom and Beis, and even earlier on this Amud here, he makes it sound like you're a putter from Sukkah, even if you're able to find a kosher one. Meaning to say, like the Ran. It sounds like the Me'iri first is like Tosfos and the Ritva, that only if you can't do both. Yet then he sounds like, even if you could do both, even if it's easy for you to find another Sukkah. So how can you answer this contradiction? And as an aside, although Rav Soloveitchik was not a big fan of learning the Me'iri, he thought that the Rambam also had this stira. Not so simple, but he thought the Rambam also had the same stira, and therefore he gave some answers for it. Okay, so now three answers are given as to how to understand the stira and the Me'iri, or the Rambam, if you will. Number one, maybe he's really like Tosfos, meaning really only your putter if you can't do both. And you could try to say that maybe it will really delay you somehow without you really expecting it, meaning really only if you can't do both. But we're afraid maybe in some way, shape, or form it will delay you even if you're not expecting to. You know, I'm right in the sukkah, I can walk to that sukkah, but who knows? You know, the second you try to start doing something, you'll end up getting delayed. So that would be one way to try to defend the Me'iri. Another way is that maybe he really holds like the Ran, swing it the other way, and that the rule is that you're really putter as long as there's no tircha, though. But if there is, as long as there's any degree of tircha. If there's no tircha, though, then you really are supposed to. And that would explain why he sounds a little bit like Tosfos and the Ritva. If there's no tircha whatsoever, then you really have to. So he's like the Ran. Although then Rebbe said a third suggestion. And this is that maybe the regular din is like Tosfos, which is what he sounds like. That really, Osi B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah is only true when it's Ef Shelekayim Shneihem. But when there's a combination of Sukkah and Osi B'mitzvah, meaning it's a unique din by Sukkah, that there's no absolute obligation to live in a sukkah, but rather there's a general rule of teishu kein tadur. You live in there as you would in your house. So when it comes to a sukkah, we don't insist that you try to minimize your patur, just like you would like in a house. For example, like if you're already putter from the main part of your trip from sukkah, because you're on a trip and you're a putter because you're osik b'mitzvah putter min mitzvah. So now that like there's a little bit of period of time when you're not osik b'mitzvah and you're totally free up and it is possible to go find a sukkah, we don't make you bother because teishu kein tadur weakens the scope of how strongly we really tell you to minimize your patur. It requires some more thought, but that's basically the idea. And this might actually have basis in the Me'iri itself later on, himself later on, because by a chassan later on he says that even though it's not normal to party in the morning or the night, it's only normal to party during the, you know, the major part of the day, not early in the morning and at night, nonetheless you're still putter from Kriya Shema for the whole day since, or you're still putter from mitzvos the whole day because like you're involved in the main part of the day in a patur, so the rest of the day gets to fall apart, and that's talking about by sukkah, I'm sorry, not Kriya Shema. So therefore, maybe there's already has some hinted in the Me'iri himself. Okay, so now, practically speaking, what's this worry? What's this tirda that the chassan's worried about? So Rebbe mentioned three shitos. There's the Rambam, in that she won't be a basula. Maybe she won't be a basula. There's the Tamidi Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos. Then maybe he'll do it wrongly and hurt himself, and he'll become a krus shafcha. That's what he's worried about. And that's only true by a psula, where it's like a more narrow makom, and therefore it's more likely that he would hurt himself. And then finally, there's the Rashi and there's the Me'iri, which Rebbe grouped together, which is that you're worried about the Bia itself, and Rashi elaborates, and that he has to be nosing lev lios baki bedavar. You know, he's going to be thinking about how he can do it right. So now, within, let's say, the Rambam, and also to Rabbeinu Yonah, and maybe even Rashi, right, you can take either one of these options in a bigger chiddush way or a lesser chiddush way. The bigger chiddush would be basically saying that even if it's a tirdo, which isn't about the mitzvah, for example, the Rambam, you're worried that maybe she won't be a basula. Okay, what does that have to do with the mitzvah? So maybe that's a big chiddush that comes out, that even if it's a tirdo, which isn't about fulfilling the mitzvah, but it's related to an act which will do a mitzvah, the bia, namely, so that's a valid tirdo. And that makes you pater, even if it's just about making your life more difficult. The way to take it as a lesser chiddush is by saying that no, the mitzvah is that after he's married, he's going to be able to do pirur revu. Right? The Rambam says that explicitly in favor of mitzvahs. And if she isn't a basula, then they might have to get divorced. It's going to be this whole tumult. And then he won't be able to do pirur revu because tomorrow he's going to be without a wife again. Right? So according to this, it's not that anything which relates to a mitzvah in any which way is the problem. It's that it might actually impact the mitzvah. And that's what this tirda is. But it's not just tirda about an action which also happens to be a mitzvah, but your tirda has nothing to do with the mitzvah, is going to be pater. So two ways to cut the Rambam. And the same thing with the Tamid Beinyon, with about maybe becoming a kreshefa. You could say it's about his personal pain, even though it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Just he's afraid of getting hurt. Or you could say, no, it's because now that he'll get hurt, he won't be able to do the mitzvah of Piruvu as a kreshefa. He's right, he's also a kahal even. Okay, and then within Rashi and the Meiri, Rashi sounds like, by the way, we should note, like he's saying a big chumra in the rules of tirda. And that it isn't enough to have tirda about whether you'll, succeed in the mitzvah, just like, oh, you're nervous. You're waiting for your lulav to arrive from Eretz Yisrael. And you don't know, will it happen, will it not happen? And you're just nervous. But there's nothing you can do, and in no way is this, like, significant, this tirda, then it's not a valid p'tor. Because Rashi makes it sound like it's helping you strategize to do the mitzvah. Somehow this is helping. And there's a smach for this as well in Rashi and Chavav and Aleph, where Rashi throws the word in tikunah, that while they're camping there, they're worried about how they're going to do the mitzvah, and you know, all the proper things. Before Waze came out, it was very difficult to figure out which road you would be going on. And therefore, they had all these different cheshbonos that they were making to help them facilitate the accomplishment of the mitzvah. Great. So now, last thing in shiur number two, the Ron had a question on Tosfos, that a chazan is clearly able to do Kriya Shema, and then afterwards do Bias Mitzvah. So clearly you see that Esher L'Kayim Shneim is in your pater, right? He could stop, say Kriya Shema, for it's a one pasuk that he has to focus on, and then still do Bias Mitzvah. It's not going to impact his Bias Mitzvah. So how do we understand that? How does Tosfos respond to the fact that that clearly is a case of Esher L'Kayim Shneim? So two approaches might come out off of this Rashi we just alluded to. Number one, it's impossible there. If you stopped thinking about strategizing how you were going to do the Bias Mitzvah, then it would make the Bia go wrongly. If you really take Rashi literally, that somehow your strategizing is going to help you accomplish the mitzvah, so if you don't strategize enough, you're going to do the mitzvah wrongly. That definitely seems to be a chiddush in mitzias, right? It's hard to understand how, you know, deriving from first principles, as Rebbe said, that you're going to figure out how to do the bia properly. But nonetheless, that might be one way to defend Tosfos from this question on the Ron. And to that, then, Efshel L'Kayim Shneihem, in this context, what would the Shneihem be? It would be, it's impossible to do Kriya Shema and to do bia properly, actually the two actions. Although there's another way to defend Tosfos off of this Rashi also, and say that no, it is impossible there. But not that it's impossible to do Kriya Shema and the Bia, but rather it's impossible to do Kriya Shema and have the Tirda about the Bia. Meaning the Torah approves of the Tirda Shel Mitzvah. And you can't do both simultaneously, because when you try to turn to Kriya Shema, you have to focus on Kriya Shema, and you stop focusing on the Tirda de Mitzvah. So it's efshir to have Tirda de Mitzvah and Kriya Shema. Good. That's the end of shiur number two. We're a little bit over in terms of our time, but we'll do what we can to try to jam shiur number three in 10 minutes. Okay? So now, beginning of shiur number three. Rashi points out why we need another pasuk for chasan, right? Rashi says, like, you know, why do you need another pasuk for chasan? I already have osip mitzvah or mitzvah. So Rashi says, because it's like a more intangible way of doing a mitzvah. It's only just osik in terms of the fact that he's thinking about it. He's not actually doing something, and that's why we needed the second pasuk. So now, if that's true, Tosfos notes that the sugya here seems to be dorish the pasukim in a backwards fashion, right? The Achronim say that they assume that the language of leches was going on a chasan, right? So the second pasuk of leches, of going, is about a chasan who's not doing anything, he's just thinking. And shiftecha, which you would have thought is really sounding like he's just sitting there being mevatel, not doing anything, he's batel. So Tosfos actually quotes a reverse gears in Brachos, which we don't have in Brachos, if you look in our Brachos, but some Rishonim clearly had, and that is that Tosfos says, well, two different gears. Tosfos says that Shiftecha teaches us that a chasan is pater, and Lechtecha teaches us that Osik is pater, and that makes sense with the wording, right? Shiftecha is that you're just sitting there, and Lechtecha means that you're going to do a mitzvah, so that teaches us Osik for mitzvah. But most Rishonim, and that's Rashi over here, is to say that Shiftecha teaches us that your Osik for mitzvah is pater for mitzvah, and Lechtecha teaches us that a chasan is pater. So now, how can we understand this gears of Rashi? Tosfos seems to have a good point. It sounds like it's backwards. Shiftecha should teach you when you're Yoshivu Batal, not Lechtecha. So how can we understand that Lechtecha is what teaches us Chasam? So one could simply say, one suggestion Rebbe said, although he didn't say anyone say this, is that one could simply say that it's going in the order of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is teaching you the lesser chiddush. The second part of the pasuk amplifies that and teaches you the bigger chiddush. So the order of the pasuk was shivtcha. Exactly. Meaning that first we say, ozik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, and that's shivtcha. And then we move on to say, even a chasson and his more intangible sort of osik b'mitzvah, just thinking about it, not actually walking there, right? Tirda is going to be a p'tor. So it's going in the order of the pasuk. And that's how we understand this girsa of Rashi. A second option of how to understand this girsa of Rashi is like the Meiri and the Ritva. That shiftcha doesn't mean you're just yoshivu batul, you're not doing anything. But rather it means you're sitting there doing something, right? You can work in place. Right now we're all sitting here and we're learning, we're doing something, we're involved in something. So you can sit and do something. And lechtcha teaches that you're going to do something, but you're not yet doing it, i.e. it's preparation. Just as a chasson is preparation, not actually doing the B'ez mitzvah, obviously, but he's just thinking about it, and that's preparation. So that's how you explain this gear. So shiftcha doesn't mean doing nothing, it means doing something in place. And lachtcha means doing not doing something yet, but going to do something, meaning preparation, and that's true by a chasson as well. Now a third option that Rebbe said was to throw in what Rashi throws in on Chafav and Aleph, the word about tikuneha again, that the tirda is basically a strategic tirda. It's one that helps you. And that's in line with what was said by a chasson, where Rashi says, Leos Baki B'davar. And that is to say, that the reason why you're putter when you're traveling is because that anxiety, that planning type of tirda, is what's making you putter. Not because you're actually osik in the mitzvah itself. And what do you learn that from? You learn that idea of tirda from the word lechtecha. Why? Because back in the old days, and even nowadays, it was very scary to travel. To be on the road is something that requires a lot of thought of planning how I'm going to actually be able to accomplish the mitzvah. So it makes sense that a chasson who's doing the same sort of thing with his tirda, he's planning how he's going to properly fulfill the mitzvah, is learned from the word lechtecha. Shivtecha means, let's say, doing something in place and where you're actually doing the mitzvah. And lechtecha teaches you this idea of tirda because going on the road is something which is complicated, hard, requires a tirda of planning. So that would be another way to explain why Rashi's girsa makes sense. Okay, so now, here's a good question. Why does the Gemara say pater mi mitzvah from the first part of the drasha, and then pater mi kriya shema, something much more narrow, something much more specific, by a chasson and by tirda? By ozi b'mitzvah, it just says pater mi mitzvah, and by a chasson and tirda, it just says pater mi kriya shema. Is that specific? Is a chasson only pater from kriya shema, or is he even pater from all other mitzvahs? So there's two girsas in the Rambam. Most printings have mi kol ha mitzvos u mi kriya shema. That would obviously mean that a chasson and tirda are pater from all mitzvahs also. And that's the girsa that the Kesef Mishnah had, for example, and said that the idea of osik b'mitzvah, pater b'mitzvah applies to, and by tirda, it applies to all mitzvahs. However, the manuscripts, the one that Frankel has, which includes the one that Rambam signed off on, have just kriya shema. It doesn't say mikol mitzvahs. So now, you could have said he still meant all the mitzvahs and was just talking about kriya shema, but the simpler read is that he means dafka kriya shema, only kriya shema. In fact, the Meiri quotes some who, while he associates those ones with Rashi, who say that you're pater from all mitzvos, the Meiri himself says that you're only pater from Kriya Shema. And the Rabbeinu Tam also says you're only pater from Kriya Shema when it's in terms of Tirda. So the question is, why is Kriya Shema different? According to this second side, this maybe better gears in the Rambam, why would you only be pater from Tirda, from Kriya Shema, and not from all mitzvos? So the Meiri says, since Kriya Shema requires a lot of kavana, unlike other mitzvos, and Rabbeinu Tam speaks that out clear, that since you can still do both at the same time by other mitzvos, unlike by Kriya Shema, where everything else must stop, you block it out of your mind, and you focus on Yichud Hashem, right on, O Malchus Shemayim. You just block it out of your mind. And therefore, what would come out from this is an interesting idea. The Rambam, in terms of lining him up, like Tosfos or the Ran, generally, is it that when you're Osik B'mitzvah and you can't do both, or that even if I could do both, the Rambam would seem, if he says it's only Pater from Kriya Shema, it would come out that the Rambam would be seeing that since the reason why you're only Pater from Kriya Shema is because I can't do both at the same time. I can't say Kriya Shema and also be focused on the Mishnah, because I have to focus on Kriya Shema. So you see from the Rambam, I say it's unique to Kriya Shema that I'm pater, that the Rambam would hold that it's only when it's impossible for you to do both mitzvahs at the same time, like the Tosfos side. So now, what would be a svar for the other gears? Let's go back to the other gears, which says that if you're that you're tarred in Bia, let's say. So now, you're pater from all mitzvahs. Why is that? So maybe you could say, like the Ran and the Or Zeruah, that you're pater, even though it's not impossible to do other mitzvahs. I could, you know, I was sitting in the sukkah and still be tarred about Bia, but nonetheless, I'm focused on this mitzvah, and I'm putter than from any other mitzvah, like the Ran and the Or Zeruah. Or else maybe you could say, the way to explain that first girsa, is that maybe all mitzvahs are really impossible to accomplish both, since it will still distract you from doing the first mitzvah. Meaning to say, it will distract you not from accomplishing the mitzvah in general, but from the tirda you had. And we don't want to distract you from that other mitzvah. So all mitzvahs, not just Kriya Shema, your putter from when you're focused on the tirda of a mitzvah, because we don't want to take you away from that tirda. Basically, that tirda has a certain value to it, not necessarily it'll help you accomplish it, as much as it itself is meaningful. So now, in the Gemara's conclusion, what happened to the case of an almana's tour of Osei? We understand why an almana, he's not tarred by the almana, right? You know, he's not worried about the psulim. But why isn't there a tour of Osei of a mitzvah? So the Rashba understands that it's about difference between before the wedding and after the wedding. When you're getting married itself, that's called Osei B'mitzvah and you're Pater. But the Gemara's conclusion now is talking about once they were already married, on the way home. And therefore, he's not involved in a mitzvah anymore. By Basula, there's still the B'as Mitzvah, right? But by Basula, by a Ba'ula, by a Almana, right? There's nothing left. There's no more mitzvah. He's already done the Nisuin. He's done the mitzvah at this point. Yes, Nisuin is a mitzvah, and therefore you're putter when you're osik and doing the Nisuin itself. But going home from the Nisuin now, you're not osik b'mitzvah, and you're not even tarred. So there's no reason why you'd be putter. That's the Rashba. Rav Haigon and the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rambam say that no. I mean, you could have said that you weren't arguing on the Rashba, but the Rashba and the Meiri clearly felt that they were arguing on Rav Haigon. So they say that no, both the Havamina and the conclusion of the Gemara are dealing with the actual mitzvah of getting married. The difference between an Almana and a Basula, therefore, is that by an Almana, he's only osik b'mitzvah, but he's not tarred. But by Basula, he is both Osik and Tard. And what comes out, therefore, is that to the Rashba, there are two separate Peturim. Number one is that if you're Osik B'mitzvah, you're Pater. Separately, if you're Tard B'mitzvah, you're Pater. Meiri and Ritva say like that too. But Rav Haigon, and maybe the Rambam, and the Rabbeinu Chananel, there's just one Petur, and that's Tard. Whether or not you're Osik, if you're Tard, you're Pater. But if you're just Osik and you're not Tard, for example, here's the difference where they'd argue. In a case where he's Osik but not Tard, like the mitzvah of Nisuin of an Amana, you're doing the mitzvah of Nisuin right now to an Amana. You're Osik, but you're not Tard. The Rashba says you're Putter, you're Osik but mitzvah. But Rav Haigon says you are a Chayav. So now, how can we understand what they're arguing over? So there are two basic approaches, Rabbi said. It might be that they're arguing over the same machlokas between Tosos and the Ran. Is there a Petur when it's possible to make Chayav both? So the Rashba and Meiri say, yeah, it's Putter even when possible. And Rav Haigon would say, no, it's Putter only when it's impossible. The problem with that is, obviously, that the Rashba and the Meiri say like Tosfos, not like the Ran, so it doesn't work out so well to them. Alternatively, though, another way you could try to explain this is that they might be arguing even over if it's impossible to do both. And the Rashba and the Meiri would say, you're Putter, because it's impossible to do both. And Rav Haigon would say, you're still Chayiv. How can you be Chayiv if it's impossible to do both? Since you can always go back and do the other mitzvah. So you do the second mitzvah first, and then you go back to the first one. To this, to Rav Haigon and the Rambam, there will be no tour of Osik B'mitzvah at all. So now, why are Shluchi Mitzvah and Shomer Aveda going to be Pater then? You'll have to say that somehow he's tarred over the mitzvah. When you're a Shomer Aveda, it's really tough and you're tarred over the mitzvah. So that's one weakness in this explanation. Another weakness is the language of Osik B'mitzvah. It sounds like Osik is the Pater, not just Tirda. Another weakness in this explanation is that the Svara seems strange. Well, we're going to have to say something that, like, Hashem only made the Pater when it would be hard for you, like to refocus your mind. But unlike doing two things at once, which isn't that hard, and Tosos, now, like, this maybe has basis in Tosos, which mentions it as a Havamina if we only had one Pasuk, but nonetheless, it's a pretty weak Svar to say that, like, really you're Chayiv in doing two mitzvos when you're Osik B'mitzvah, but, like, if you're Tarud, then you're not Chayiv. That's where the Torah arises. So Lehalacha, Tosos says, by the way, that our Chasanim are say Kriya Shema, since we don't have Kavanah anyhow, and it will look arrogant if we don't say Kriya Shema, and therefore, it will look like we're saying that we generally have a deep Kavanah. So the last point, and then we'll rush through this very, very quickly. Last point is that why is an Avo considered Tirda Rashus? Isn't the sadness the mitzvah itself? So Rashi says, no, the sadness is not the mitzvah itself. Demonstrating sadness is the mitzvah, to give kavod to the mace. Seemingly is a good proof for this from the Mishnah Sanhedrin, which says that Aninus is belev, and implies that Avelis is not. Rav Soloveitchik was very convinced that the major kiyum of Avelis, like by many mitzvahs, was how you felt inside, based off of the Rambam. So now, what about our sugya here? So, two answers. Either it's a mitzvah to be distraught, however, part of the mitzvah is tshuva, of introspection over your loss. We lose that sense of immunity of death. That rawness of mortality makes us into better people. So now, additionally, part of the kiyum is going to be the tzedakah din, that you recognize that we don't have an explanation, Hashem does. Thus, the real tsar of Avelis, which is the kiyum, is tsar which prompts you to do mitzvos. If it's preventing you from doing mitzvos, then that's not the right kind of tsar, and therefore it's only a tsar derashus. An alternative way to explain how this Gemara is going to work, according to Rav Soloveitchik, who says the kiyum of Avelis is belev, is that you can distinguish between tirda and tsar. The difference is basically between past and future. Basically, you're sad about the past, but you're anxious about like what's going to happen now in the future. So the kiyum of Avelis is to be sad about what happened in the past, but not that you should be distraught and anxious, which stops you from doing other mitzvahs. You should be sad, but you should be calm and able to do other mitzvahs. That is the end of Shir 3. Yes.